again, we ask your attention to the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13. Verse 13, the 10th chapter, the first epistle to the Corinthians. There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. When we consider what a terrible stretch of human woe sin has brought into this world that God created, when we consider how many times many a poor wretch has been totally frustrated because of temptation, but there are a company of people, how many I don't know, but we're safe on saying this, there are millions who never feel their woe and they never fear the power of temptation. They yield to it willingly because they are willing slaves to sin and to Satan. Temptation is one of the arrows that the adversary of the soul uses upon the people of God. I said this morning that I have heard people say the devil never gives them any trouble, then grace never is found in their heart. Because where one is, where grace is, there the devil is sure to oppose it. And I'm sure of this, that the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees. And if you're tempted, you will be burdened. And if you're burdened, you will be told how to pray, Lord, remove this burden. The Lord has promised faithfully that he will be so faithful to his people. And it is not only in this chapter. It is down through the chapters of time and in the blessed volumes before us. Abraham proved the faithfulness of his God. By faith, Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. By faith. And you read in the Hebrews how many by faith they were obedient, and in spite of what must come. You think of Abraham again when he offered Isaac. You know that needed great faith, and you are sure here the devil made an inroad into the very soul of this dear man. He shook his faith. And when the lad said to his father, but where is the ram, where's the lamb, where's the sacrifice, oh, will there be provision made? Here's a provision. Yet the Lord proved, you see, in this hour, when it was, well, if I kill my son, what shall I then do afterward? What crime will this be laid against me? Though the Lord has told me to prove my steadfastness to him and my love to him, yet this must have been a great temptation to the poor man, the trial of his faith. The Lord will provide. Sometimes in our hearts we are made to feel and believe that the Lord will provide in some special way, in some special thing or need that we truly require. It's not just what we think we want. You see, these dear people of God, they need to have a way of deliverance. I remember once in deep trouble, this broke into my heart, when thou canst no deliverance see, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. When you've got nothing, when you feel as if the very, your little rock, your little ship is going to sink, you cry heavenward, Lord, save. it is common to the people of God that they should be tempted. Grace, we mentioned this morning, the conflict, the Shulamite, the two arms, the bitterness of the old man of flesh and sin against the new man of grace. You see, we're born like this with the old man, the old nature. And when grace enters the heart to the old man, this is a usurper. We don't want this, we don't want this, and the old man and the old flesh and carnality and the devil together, they put up a fight against the new principle of grace. That is where the whole secret of true religion lies. Friend, if you haven't got the new principle, you haven't got Christ. If you haven't got the new principle, you don't want Christ. True, you know, it's true. It's well to sing it, blessed be God, prayer hymns. There will be Christ and all I want. When that's true, the evidence of Christ, the evidence of the new principle within our heart, the evidence that there are two characters, two principles, but one will try to bring the other down. Look at the army. What will you see in the Shulamite, son of Solomon? What will you see? Haven't you felt it at work this week? I am sometimes frightening to a degree which is frightening. Not in deeds, so much as word, in thought rather, in thought where you go, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen, Lord? Will there be an outflow? Will there be a bursting of the flood? It's here. Here on my heart, this burden lies while past offenses. Pay my eyes. Is it true that there can be no hope for me that I shall never be brought into this? Now here was the psalmist. He was brought here. I will look up unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. How many of you have drawn help from him? An inexhaustible store in the time of need. How many times have you drawn that help which he freely gives to his people? And he bids them look unto him. Grieve things of high fear in your heart. I shall die and not live. The Lord turns the scales. He turns the scales and gives them in their heart, I shall live and not die. The fear of dying in the hour of temptation. Have you ever considered it? Remember one poor man that we knew, that he feared that he was a wrong character. He'd never been called by grace or into the ministry. And he came down and down and down, and the Lord apparently seemed or appeared to leave him in that condition. And in his own time and in his own way, he came to him and he appeared to him. And how true this is, now blessed. As we read of Jesus himself, there appeared an angel of God unto him and strengthened him in the hour, in the time of need, of temptation. And friend, if you're a true-born child of God, you won't disagree with that. There will be a time of need in your life, probably the Lord will permit you to come here, when carnal reason, common sense, your own intellect seems as if it is at full of the power and will of the devil, and you fear that you'll be captivated, soul, body, and circumstance. People think that they're going to get to heaven in silver slippers, and everything's going to be so easy. When they come to heaven's gate, they will prove the truth of it. Behold, as I took thy soul, there was even a way to hell from the very gate of heaven. There is sinner, there is. I'm sure there is. Deception is the cruelest thing that any of us should ever know, deception. Oh, I say to the Lord sometimes, Lord, do deliver me from being deceived. This cruel deception, how terrible it is. It's better to have warfare. It's better to know that the two principles are set in their place, and that grace says, I shall surely win the day, because it is of God graces. But as long as you live, like the dear old man told me years ago, there on the coast after service, if you live to be 92 or 3 my age, he said, it will still be a bitter bottle. Don't look for anything different, friend, because he was true. And that was 25 years ago he told me that. And I had to say to the Lord often now, Lord, look upon this unequal war. Savior, do not go too far. Crafty is the foe and strong. Savior, do not tarry long. Come unto me, Lord. When wilt thou come unto me and bless me and help me? Don't you feel sometimes as if he's thrown his lasso round you, soul and body, oh Lord, he'll have me, I'm afraid of myself, I'm afraid of myself. Ah, here is where the Lord is teaching you your weakness. Having some conversation the other day, we were in agreement, you know, it's a special thing to be in agreement. We've been in agreement today, some of the dear friends, there in the afternoon. And we find this, you know, the Lord, he draws and he brings us to the place where we find our total helplessness. Have you ever been brought there? Total helplessness. Nothing nor anyone to help you. Thou, O Christ, at the eternal refuge of thy dear people, in times of trouble, times of distress, times of sorrow. You young people, do you know what it is to have these temptations? You may be allured, you know, sometimes, the devil uses sometimes some of the ungodly. They may say to you, well, come on, come with us, come with us. You may feel, oh, I'd like to try this, I'd like to try that, I'd like to go into this, I'd like to go into something else. And friend, if there may be one or more here, let me tell you that that path will lead to death. It will lead to your soul being exposed to all manner of sins and iniquities. I will pray and pray, you know, for the young people, finding in my heart to pray for them day after day, Lord, arrest them and do keep them as the apple of the eye and guide them through life. Oh, if they know this, because you see the devil, he has snares. Now on the farms and in the grounds, in the parks years ago, I expect they do it now, but you know, the rabbits were quite a curse really to the crops on the farms, and men, the farmers know this. And they would have a man and he would go around. There would be snares, you'd buy them at the shop, wires set on the pegs. And they'd find the runs of these rabbits and they'd set it in there. A little long further there'd be another one, and another one, and another one. I've known in the mornings and nights go away to get 9, 10, or 12 rabbits. Caught them in the snares. Because they ate the crops, the other crops. Just what the devil does, friend. Mind those snares of the devil. He's got one snare that he uses for the people of God as well as the young and the old. There is no harm. There is no harm. They do it, we'll do it. They've got it, we'll have it. If every home of strict Baptist was purged, it would be a good thing. Needs to be purged of a lot of things so that we brought before the Lord, wash me, in its place for a long, long time, and it needs a lot of grace to turn it out, turn it out. A blessing when you can say, Lord, finish it. Too much. And this brings shallowness in religion. It brings a far offness with Jesus Christ and with God the Father. Sure this, the less of the things and the pleasures of this world, the nearer his people walk with him and before him. Because you see, you find this in your heart. The devil says, no, I'm in it. And I believe he uses this snare. So-and-so has it. A minister's got it. A deacon's got it. Somebody else has got it. So I'm for any of us about anything. We can go on just as the worldling does. But we can't. We must. When the Lord wrote this in my heart, and I could take you to a place or room in Bexley, Kent, where almost on the spot, within a foot in the room, and it made me to tremble before God, I had separated thee from other people. Separated. I looked down a little further after I really got over the effect of the Word of God. It spoke to my heart so plainly and clearly. And as I looked down, the margin read this, I have severed thee. I have cut thee asunder from idolaters, from the people of the world, and from the pleasures of it. Whatever is there left for us, friends? For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. That's what there is to live for. Plenty say, well, the Lord doesn't leave us with much. He does. He leaves us with a complete salvation. He leaves us with a full Jesus Christ and him crucified. A full salvation. My dear, well, I'm just eaten up with the things of time and sense, and they can soon get hold of their idolatrous hearts, and we make the very best of them, you know. Everything is put before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has put the last, he's put the last. Don't even want him in a sermon sometimes, that's too boring with some of them, they don't want. If there's the life of God in their soul, what do they want? If there's a new principle, what do they want? Tales? Dry tales? Tales of men? No. For me to live is Christ. For me to preach him is a blessing. For people to receive is a double one. That's how it should be. Now the Lord has promised that he is faithful. He was faithful in giving. He was faithful in giving and making the provision. He was faithful in making a way of prayer that sinners might with boldness pray and earth converse with heaven. Do you pray? Do you? Did you pray this morning before you come to Aubrey World and say, Lord, help me, rush into the chapel, take a seat? Have you thought about the ministers ever at night? Saturday night, Sunday, any other night that we have to preach. Lord, do undertake for me with all my troubles, what shall I do? The devil comes in like a flood, like a flood. He tells you there can be no hope. He tells you you never learn the gospel, the truth yourself. I would one thing that we could see evidence of it. There were people moved of God, as we read of them in days of old, moved of God and more godly exercise. It's not there, it's not there. In many, many places it's not there. There'll be an exercise, a humbling, a bringing together. And where you find it, if it's in the minister's heart, you will find here when all their heart is taken up with the other things of time and sense. Consider the door being tight going up, you stand by you. Again, there are a people you know of God, and there are not too many of them. The Lord says that there is a remnant. One of this remnant would I be. You desire with all your heart, you know, that you may belong to the Lord's household. A remnant of faith, a remnant of the people of God. Does it work in you, friends? Does it go up? Do you tell the Lord Jesus how much you really want him? Do you have to express the desires of your very soul and tell him, Lord Jesus, I want thee more than I can ever tell anyone. God is faithful for one day. By the power of the Spirit of God, he will show you his Son. Remember, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God the Father is pleased with his Son, and he's pleasing the Son, he's pleasing the sinners. A pleasing sight to behold him by faith. Have you ever seen? He's the opposite to sin. He's the opposite to the satanic power that besets our path. He's the one thing needful that these poor sinners are deeply called from time to time to seek and to look to and to tell him, Lord, I do want thee. Do come to me. Do come to me. And the devil says, there can't be any room. There's no place for you with the people of God. Haven't you feared that God will sometimes say, you've been tempted this way, that God will say to you, how can I put thee among the children? Look at your marks. See if you've ever been humbled under the mighty hand of God. You look at yourself. Don't get busy looking at someone else. It's the easiest thing we can do, you know, is this. Look at someone else. It's me. Every time the Lord shows me myself, it gives me a real shock when I say, Lord, can ever God go here? Can he? Oh, I would be so different. I would be so much more like Jesus Christ. But alas, you find in your heart such a load that you feel ready to accept the temptation. You feel this could be an easy way out. The Lord said, no, no. In the hour of temptation, he says, I will succor them, and I will make a way to deliver them. Do you do it? Do you do it? Don't know how. I'm not here tonight to tell you how you're going to be delivered. But I know this, he will deliver the godly out of temptation. The godly souls, just remember, those that means that are exercised concerning the well-being of their soul and a deep desire in their soul after Jesus Christ. They're the godly. How many enslaves each other? So easy to have a name to live, you know, among people and yet be dead. I don't want that liberty. Oh, for a closer walk with God, calm and serene my frame. No, in spite of temptations, lean to the right where Christ is, not to the left. Wonderful thing if he gives you grace, and in the hour of temptation you can say, Lord, now I see what every time, all is well, if Christ be mine. Come, life, come, death, come, sickness, come, loss, come, persecution, come, bereavement, come, anything that the Lord sees fit to put upon us. All is well, if Christ be mine. You're tempted that he's not. You're tempted that you don't belong to him. You're tempted often to say, well, the beginning was wrong and everything's wrong. Now God is faithful. God's faithful. What he's promised is this. Where things look and appear crooked, he'll make them straight. Where the mountain is too high and too great to get over, he'll carry you over it. And it needs be, the Lord will remove the mountain. He'll remove it. You could have an affliction. You say, I don't know if ever we're going to manage in this affliction. Oh, thou great mountain. What can you do with it? Where can you turn it? I said this morning, you can't touch it, you can't move it. Before Zerubbabel says the word of God, thou shalt become a plain, it shall flow down the presence of God. Haven't you seen some mountains flow down in his presence? For I have, I know it. But prove it, you know, stand still, stand still. Heaven and earth, yes, here he is again, waiting, watching, looking after his people. God is faithful. Look at a parent, a faithful parent over their children. They don't cast them off to them. They may chastise them. They must chastise them, but look, whatever troubles come, you still stand by your child. We do. Sometimes that comes so close, you say, well, Lord, what shall I do? What shall we do about this? Having therefore obtained help of God, they're yours. Do you know that the prodigal was the son of that father? He was born to that father, and when he went away and sinned away all and spent all, he came back and he was still the son, still the son. It's the matter, it's yours. It's your responsibility and mine. Our love should flow into them, our compassion and pity. God is faithful. He will not cast away his people. He won't. I remember years ago having great trouble. And went to my parents' home, and immediately I got into the home, my poor mother made a great mistake, and she said, that boy of yours, we both had a word from the Lord to turn him out. I said, Mother, he's my boy, our boy. And the Lord didn't tell me anything about that, but he's stopping in. He's stopping in our home, he's our boy. We can't turn him out, we don't want to. Maybe we're tempted to at times, but don't. Hold on. Mercy, you know, if God gives you grace to help in a time of need. I don't know any greater need or any greater time than in the time of temptation, because you fear that everything's going to collapse. The beginning's going to collapse. God will lead you. The devil will make one plunge and be dragged down into eternal misery forever and ever. Haven't you had this in your heart? God is faithful. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. That's the faithfulness of God. I've told you today of the determination, the evil determination of the devil. But I stand fast to this. The goodness and faithfulness of God can never be measured. It never can. Speaking about more than I know, this is what I have tasted of. When I forget him, when you forget him, God is still faithful. When sometimes we are overwhelmed and overwrought, cast down, he's still faithful. He's given you one promise, he's still faithful here, fulfill it. You may be tempted that didn't come from the Lord. Prove him about it. I love this. The Lord said, and it loaded early this morning, prove me now herewith. If I will not open to you the window, to receive it. Your soul can hold everlasting thus in it. He can fill it, and he will. God is faithful. In the first of his Son, he gave, he supplied, and made the provision of salvation by grace. But I wonder that we should do sing sometimes, know the Lord and know the song, the everlasting honors given. You consider this, God's faithfulness to his people. While we were yet sinners, while we're still determined to go on, God's faithful, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my mouth. God will not ever break his word. He is faithful. For today be a blessing, you know, if we sought for more grace and were more diligent, that we could be as faithful to each other as God is to us. We could be as faithful to him and to each other as he is to us. Friend, he said, that loveth at all times, this dear Redeemer, he loveth at all times. You consider the time that you've offended him, is love still the same? He's still faithful. Doesn't turn against you. Never, never to say, well, that child is not mine, I disown it. No, God's faithful to keep to his word. And he will not suffer you to be tempted either above that you're able. But will, with the temptation also, make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now this is what the people of God say. I don't know how I should be able to stand the trying day, if the Lord doesn't soon bring it to an end. We measure our trials by time, but God looks at them, you see, as the whole thing, as the whole trial. He never measured it by time. God puts you in it. And then there is that season when he will teach you, instruct you, so that you come forth, and there's profit. In the school of Jesus Christ, there is one thing to learn, and that is that we must be disciplined. So that as Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Here where it is the hardness, you know. Oh, it's so hard. To the flesh, it's a hard thing to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. They cannot run in their own power. They cannot take this journey in their own strength. They have nothing in store. And the Lord gives them daily strength as they stand in need of it. So, in short, they are called to cast all their cares upon him. And when it comes to this place, that he will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape, that he may be able to bear it. What is the temptation with you? You're going to be in want, you're going to need, you're going to have troubles that you'll never be able to endure. Your religion is coming to an end. The devil tells you the beginning is wrong. You've never had any settlement from heaven that you're a child of grace. God is faithful, that he that has begun the good work in you, he that has begun it, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That was sweet the other evening, speaking of that performing. He will perform his faithfulness to perform it because he's begun it. The work begun is carried on nor held. And it debates, you will see the day, child of God, when God brings deliverance, you will challenge your adversary to say, now, where art thou? Where art thou, thou false accuser? This is the word of God, the false accuser of the brethren. The brethren know subtlety of this awful monster when you consider he was the means of sin creeping into this world, this wonderful place that God created and said, it is good, it is good. I often think of this. It is good. Nothing wrong with the handiwork of God. Everything is wrong with the devil, with human beings in their weakness, the devil's subtlety, and poison the whole world with sin. Remember this. God said it was good as he looked upon it. He was faithful. In that he had promised, he'd been faithful right down through the ages of time. To the old patriarchs and every servant of his, he'll be faithful to you. And if he's raised you up to a little hope that one day you will dwell in glory with him and his dear son Jesus, he'll be faithful to take you there. He'll be faithful to fulfill every desire, that every hope, not one hope, every hope that you feel, well, Lord, here it is, I hope to get there at last. I hope my sins are forgiven. I hope I've been called by grace. He's faithful. He's going to level everything out for you. He'll say, at last, you'll be with me in glory. Think of the poor man as he hung upon the cross. You may be tempted to this degree, fellow sinner, that your last breath may be in prayer with him, Lord, remember me. God is faithful, he has said, they that call upon me in the day of trouble, I will even clear your trouble. In glory, Lord, may I be found, and with thy precious mercy found, friend, join the glad song and their adore, a precious price forevermore. He attended, he accepted you, he is inscribed upon that heart of yours in his faithfulness. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, with loving kindness have I drawn thee, fellow sinner. You will bless the God of grace for his faithfulness to sinful you. I to sinful me. Seek his face, knock at his door. Don't give him any rest. Go again and again to him and tell him you deeply desire to read your title clear to mansions in the sky. The Lord grant it. Amen.
The collections last fall today amounted to £30.25, for which we would raise sincerely thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Wednesday evening to their dear aged friend Salmon next Lord's Day. Anniversary services will, God willing, be held on Saturday, when Mr. Wood is expected to preach in the afternoon at 3 o'clock and evening at 6:15. Tea will be provided and collections paid for the building repair fund. Let us close with singing hymn number 332. Faithful God restrains. chained them down in iron bands for 330 centuries.
accept our thanksgivings for thy mercy and kindness to us this Sabbath. We now beg of thee for journey mercies to our homes. Most kindly look after each of us, we pray. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and sweet communion, the Holy Spirit the Comforter, to rest and abide with us each, this night and forevermore.